Look at Sweet Dee sitting on her cloud of judgment, handing down life lessons to all the sinners.
Hello and welcome, everyone.
Oh, hey.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 73.
Woo!
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn out series. I totally lost track right there for a split second.
I don't know anything.
Of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear hole. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to the new listeners that are joining us and to the old ones that are coming back each week to check out what we've got to say here and who we've got to talk to and everything. We've got a great show planned for you today. The band Lamolo. Very, very, two very beautiful young ladies are going to be joining me in the dining room studios here shortly. We're going to be talking about their music and, just about, you know, what they think of Ryan Gosling. Because that seems to be my favorite subject now, is Mr. Ryan Gosling. Because he is a stone-cold fox. Stone Cold
Fox. Oh yeah, I like this idea.
So I think you're really gonna enjoy this. Two very just awesome ladies, very very sweet, very nice, very smart, and very good at what they do. And we will be featuring music by Lamolo throughout the episode. They've got a new they're working on a new record right now. I think this is gonna be their first full length. That's going to be coming out whenever it does. And, I cannot wait to hear it. And I need to go. I have not seen them play live yet, but I really need to go and do that. Because it sounds like it could be awesome. So I'm gonna do that. I'm going to do that sometime in the near future. Hey! I have no idea what I'm going to say. Oh, yeah. You know,
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Oh, boy. Yes. Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson, indeed. Massive, massive brain farts this morning. Holy crap. Wow. Okay. Let's get down to business here, shall we? Let's get down to brass tacks. Mairead and I, we went on a little date last night. And this is what you do when you're parents. You go on really, really short dates. And so we took some time last night. The grandparents came over, watched the kiddo for a couple hours. We went up to Cinnabar, which is actually my second time there this week because we were up there with Stack of Dimes and the Sibling Rivalry recording some live shows up there from Cinnabar, live remote up there. And thank you to the people who showed up. And, So that's going to be, hopefully, that episode will be dropping here shortly, and you can check that out. Anyway, so we went up there to go see the new Twilight movie. I believe it's called Breaking Dawn, which sounds like it could be the awesome title to, like, a Van Damme movie, or who's that guy with the ponytail? Who's the karate dude with the ponytail? Steven Seagal. One of my favorite movies, Under Siege, when I was a little boy, because of the cake scene, where the Playboy playmate jumps out of the cake, very provocative, jeez, man, god damn it. Okay, let's. I'm scooting my chair in closer. Hopefully that will work. That will make my mouth work correctly. Anyway, so we go and see this movie. This Mairead is, you know, pseudo obsessed with the Twilight series. She read all the books and everything like that, and so now we have to watch all the movies. These series of movies. I don't know. I never read the books. They could be very well written. Whatever. However, the movies are not good at all. They're not good. They're terrible. It was like, it was literally like watching a made-for-TV movie, like a 1980s made-for-TV movie on the Lifetime Network. That's what it felt like. It was so bad. The actors are so wooden. They're so wooden, and the dialogue is just terrible. It's just terrible. And so throughout this movie last night, I was just kind of sitting there, and I would look at Mairead, and at times she would be tearing up and things like that, and I would just be like, really? You know, and I became that guy that talks throughout the movie in the theater, which I hate, by the way. I hate that. I hate it when people make their own commentary, especially in the theater. You know, movies now, you know, we went to a matinee yesterday, and I know, right? Sounds like an awesome date. Went to a matinee, and it was like $10 a person. So when you're paying that much, you don't want to hear other people talking in the theater. But I did become that guy. At one point during the movie, there was this very poignant, well, I don't know if I would call it poignant scene. But, it, you know, everything kind of falls silent. And this one point, I yelled out, "What?" And got some laughs in the theater, but kind of felt bad about it too. But I couldn't hold it back. It was just so ridiculous. It was so incredibly ridiculous. And mind you, Cinnabar is a 21 plus venue for watching movies, because you can drink in there and you can order food, which is awesome, which is why I really like going up there. It was just an absolute ridiculous movie. I mean, the movie had, if you've seen Teen Wolf 2, which is pretty much an hour of music montages, this movie, Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1, had more montages in it than Teen Wolf 2. I mean, how do you do that? Do you set out with that in mind? You know, and a montage is like a section of the movie set to music and a bunch of different, you know, it's time lapse, right? It's to get the time moving and show that a bunch of stuff has happened in a short amount of time in movie time. And yeah, they just had a ton of those in it. But man, the acting is so stiff, and just the dialogue is terrible. But I don't want to get bogged down in this. I just had some strong feelings about it, So some of you out there may love these movies and everything, but man, they are cheesy. They are cheesy. Anyway, let's talk about what's going on in music right now. Because we are predominantly a music podcast, right? Lou Reed. I'm sure a lot of you have heard this. It's going around. It's you know, it's big on the interwebs right now. Lou Reed has teamed up with Metallica to make this album Lulu, which is apparently named after some sort of play that they are. They basically just wrote a bunch of music. It's like a, I don't know, what would you call it? A rock opera? A rock opera? Is that what it is? I gotta play some of this for you, because this is whoever signed off on this project is an idiot. I will say that right now. Let's take a listen. This is what's this song called? The View by Lou Reed and Metallica. Let's check this out.
Chorus of the voices that gather up the magnets set before me.
Okay, what the hell does that mean? I am a chorus of magnets lying before me, gathered up around me. Wow, I wasn't really paying attention. Already I can tell that this is bad. This was a bad idea. This is not the type of... Because Lou Reed's not a singer, you know? Lou Reed's not a singer. And you know, he's got a great voice for the type of music that he plays, right? Velvet Underground, amazing band, you know, goes down in the history books as one of the greatest from back in the day. But this was just a bad idea. This was a terrible idea. I mean, listen, let's listen to some more. Whatever.
I attract you and repel you. A science of the heart and blood and meaning. The coldness of most beauties is a challenge that our youth must quickly conquer. There is no time for guilt or second guessing based on feeling.
I'm starting to second guess this idea that they had to do this. Really, I mean, did they go? I mean, you know, these people are their own people. They're all millionaires, and they have their own free will. They can do what they want. But who sat in that studio and recorded this and was like, "Yeah, that sounds great. You guys should do more of that." Who thought that was a great idea? Isn't there somebody down the line that, I mean, does this just happen once you reach some sort of, you know, this pinnacle moment in your career, in your music career, that people just don't tell you what sounds good and what doesn't? Because I never want to get there. I would rather have people be honest with me about what they actually thought about what I was doing, right? I mean, wouldn't you? Because then you just become this laughingstock, and this is going around as this you know, this awesome comedy piece on the internet, because it is. It's bad. It's really bad. I mean, it just doesn't sound good. So who is it? Who is it that's sitting in that studio that's like, "No, I'm not gonna say it. I don't want to get fired." Well, I guess that's it right there, right? It's the economy. Back to the economy. Here we go again. It's the bad economy. The audio engineer. And the people in the studio, they don't want to lose their jobs, right? They don't want to lose their jobs and tell Lou Reed and Metallica that this was just kind of a bad mashup. And this just comes on the heels of me watching the Metallica documentary, Some Kind of Monster, which I must say was a fantastic. I'm not a big Metallica fan. I've never really have been. I mean, Enter the Sandman, amazing song, love it. But you know, I never been that big of a fan. But this documentary was amazing. And I urge all of you who have not seen it, go out and rent Some Kind of Monster, Metallica's Some Kind of Monster, because you will think differently about that band after you see it. Because these guys are pretty much stuck in adolescence. They argue, they have like a band therapist that hangs out with them for like years during the recording of their last album. I think it was Saint Anger, which by the way is a terrible, terrible album name. Who signed off on that one as well? I don't know. You'll see it in the documentary. It's terrible. But the worst part about that movie is Lars Ulrich, the drummer, who is just such a little bitch. Pardon my French, but what a little punk. And he just acts like a four-year-old the whole time. He's always throwing temper tantrums and being just a little, for lack of a better term, bitch. He's being a little bitch. Anyway, I urge you guys to check that out. Hey, we got a new iTunes review that I want to read for you guys. And I urge all of you that are listening to go and rate the show on iTunes or wherever you're getting it. You can leave comments on our Noisebeam page, air-raid.noisebeam.com. And that's NOIZBEAM.com. And you can comment on the show pages and everything like that. So we urge you guys to do that. Tell us what you think. You can also email me, Aaron, at AARON at air-raid.net. This iTunes stuff really helps us out, guys. So please, if you're listening to the show, if you're a fan of the show, please rate the show. Tell us what you know, be honest. Give us you can go up to 5 stars, but be honest. Give us 4 stars if you think it's not that great, or 3 stars if you only listen once in a while and you really don't think it's that great, or even just 1 star if you hate it. But please don't do that. And you can also write reviews there. We got this one from Eat More Truth, one of my personal favorite shows, a comedian's comedy podcast. I don't know. Hold on. I'm not a comedian, but thank you for thinking so. I am super funny. Comedian's comedy podcast. Great music, great guys, entertaining show. There's not much more to say before you just stop reading and listen. Why aren't you listening? That's a good question. Why aren't you listening? Actually, we have a... quite a few listeners now. I swear to God, I'm not drunk. I swear to God, I have not been drinking. I'm not drunk right now. I'm just slurring my words, and I don't know why. Also, one thing to tell you guys that's coming up: People's Republic of Comedy Laugh Hole is coming up December 7th. Very, very funny man. You may know him from Seinfeld, and from being a writer on The Simpsons, and also being an amazing stand-up comedian that goes on, Late Night with Conan O'Brien sometimes, and all the big shows out there. He also does the Mystery Science Theater 3000. He is coming to Laugh Hole December 7th at Chop Suey, and it's Mr. Dana Gould. Mr. Dana Gould is coming to Laugh Hole December 7th. He's also going to be on this show December 7th as well. But that show is not going to go up until the following Sunday. However, you can get tickets for Laugh Hole December 7th at their website, peoplesrepublicofcomedy.com. Comedy spelt with a K. So go and check that out, because this thing is definitely going to sell out. There's $10 pre-sale, $15 at the door. But I would go online, especially because it's cheaper. Get your tickets online because this is definitely going to sell out. Also, on December 8th, he's going to be doing Plan 9 from Outer Space with the Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys for SIFF Cinema. And he's going to be doing that at Uptown Theater. So make sure you guys check that out, because this guy is super funny, and we're super excited to get him on the show, too. I mean, he wrote for The Simpsons. He was on Seinfeld, guys. Wow. We're really taking off here. Anyway, let's get to this this chat that we had with Lamolo. Shall we? Shall we do this? Let's do that. We're going to hear the song Open Air by Lamolo. You can find this at lamolomusic.com, and this is some of their old stuff. The song is called Open Air, and when we get back, we'll be talking with the band Lamolo in just a moment. So stay with us, and we'll see you in just a moment. All right, welcome back. I am joined here by two very beautiful, very young ladies that are in the band La Mola. Welcome to Dining Room Studios, Kendra and Megan. Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
You're looking at me like, can we talk now? You just gave us all these rules.
Yeah. Hi. This is really cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming. So, La Mola, named after my old stomping grounds in Paulsboro, Washington.
Yeah.
Great name for a band. I always thought when I was hanging out there and playing music by myself that that would make a great band name.
You did?
And you
did
guys,
you?
Yeah, totally.
Cool.
Wow.
And it does. So
thanks.
Good on you,
thank
ladies.
You.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time trying to decide on a band name.
Way too much time.
That
right.
is, you know, and that's kind of like a hard thing to do, to come up with a good band name. Did you guys have a different band name before?
No, we didn't really have a name.
You were like Prince, you just had like a symbol?
No, we were so lame. We were the Making Grandel band.
Yeah.
For our first two
years. No, we what?
Were, actually, I think we called you ourselves did not the do Megan that. Grandel Experience. I actually think that might have been like the title.
We didn't know what we were doing.
So it was a little bit more tongue-in-cheek, though. It wasn't like you were playing like you wanted to get on the Lilith Fair tour or something like that, right?
I think we still want to get on the Lilith Fair tour, but
that would actually be pretty great, right?
Yeah, it would.
You'd get to meet who'd you get to meet? Who's the what's that woman's name? Very popular with the hippie lesbians.
I couldn't tell.
Annie DeFranco.
Know. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Come on.
Sure.
Come on, guys. Well, so you guys have been somewhat busy lately.
Mm-hmm. We have been. Very
yeah.
busy.
Recording a new album, you guys got some. You were telling me before we started recording that you have this little EP that is available on your Bandcamp site.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And has that been selling well? You guys selling some copies?
It has,
yeah,
pretty well. We've had that out for over a year now.
Uh-huh.
So, but it's been doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
We're just really excited to have more than two songs. So
yeah.
It'll be really nice.
Well, what happens, because you guys have, you have four songs available on your MySpace page, which I'm looking
right.
at right here. And, do you have a whole set to play at a show or?
Okay. We have a lot of songs written that we've been playing for about a year
uh-huh.
or more, some of them for even longer. So, it's definitely overdue that we get them recorded. So that's why we're really looking forward
right,
to it.
Right, right. So have you started yet?
Yeah.
Started recording?
Mm-hmm. We're pretty deep in it at this point. We've been in and out of the studio for the last like 4 months or
uh-huh.
something like that. And we're just now kind of starting to get to the point where it feels like we're actually doing something. Like the songs are coming together. So it's feeling really cool. We're really excited.
Nice, nice. And who are you guys working with?
We're working with Sean Simmons.
I have no idea who that is.
Oh, well.
he might
be a little bit sad if he hears that. But he's really cool. We did lots of our recording at Litho Studio, which is
right,
in Fremont,
right.
which
yeah.
is really nice. And now we're still working with Sean. We're able to do a lot of recording at his apartment, which has been pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
Smaller space.
More intimate space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more comfortable and... So it's going pretty well.
So more comfortable, would you say more comfortable than the IKEA chairs that you are currently sitting in?
He has a pretty incredible couch.
Yeah?
It is pretty comfortable.
Like if you lay in it for too long, you'll just get sucked in and fall asleep in.
Those are the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. I slept on my couch last night. It was wonderful. Now, because I stayed out a little bit late. If I look a little tired, it's because I am. And
you had no idea.
Yeah, right. Let's talk about Ryan Gosling for a second. Because we talked about this. I talked about this last week's episode. And now since I've got two ladies here, I would like to talk about the sweet, sweet, fine honey that is Ryan Gosling. With
Let's
you guys.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
because
start.
Where should we start?
Yeah.
Let's start with, you were talking about, Kendra, you just saw Drive.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Big fan.
Super big fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Great movie, and there's a lot of really good shots of Ryan Gosling just looking really pretty. So that's nice.
Actually, a funny story for you. I haven't had a celebrity crush in a really long time.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. A long time.
I think once you get past a certain age, that kind of subsides a little bit.
Just,
yeah,
totally. It doesn't even cross my mind. And
right.
So there was a week where it was just this really intense crush after I saw Drive, and I was like thinking about him and looking, Googling photos.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
And
did you buy a poster?
No,
with him on it and put
one.
It up in your room.
But I was looking for photos online to print out and hang up at work.
Yeah.
No joke, the same day I texted Kendra.
Funny.
Hey, I'm searching for Ryan Gosling photos. I just can't stop. Like, what's wrong with me? And she, the same day, was Googling photos.
Had been doing
out at her work.
Nice.
The exact same thing.
And we're just on the same page.
So
on that
I sent Megan an email of a couple of my very favorites. I think in one he's shirtless.
Yeah.
He, like I was telling you, if I ever was thrust into a situation like an indecent proposal or something like that, like I don't know what I would do.
It's a really tough choice.
It's a there'd be a lot of thinking that would go on, you know, and maybe some money involved. You know, if there wasn't money involved, that would kind of sweeten the pot.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Sure.
And make my decision easier.
I'm not sure we would need any money.
I don't think so. We tried following him on Twitter.
He doesn't even have a Twitter account.
He doesn't have a Twitter account?
No. But we're following his fan
Fan club.
His fan
Which is like, so. I think, worse than actually following him. I think that's really, really desperate.
Right.
The crush for me has... Subsided a little bit.
It's gone down just a little bit.
It was just that one week where it was a little ridiculous, but I feel it's under control now. So
I still think about him from time to time.
Do you?
If you hear that hum in the background, it is because the heater is on. It is kind of cold in Seattle today. It hailed last night.
Did it?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We had no
for
idea.
Like
no.
4 minutes.
That's a long time for hail.
Yeah, it was. It was. And it was kind of scary because there was some lightning and some thunder. Did you guys experience that?
I heard there was one lightning bolt.
Yes.
But I didn't see it.
It was ginormous.
Both of my roommates saw it, and I felt a little bit jealous. And they talked about it in front of me this morning. Yeah.
You should tweet that. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to a different subject here. Twitter.
Thank you.
Twitter. Are you guys good at tweeting?
Okay.
I love to tweet.
Kendra is the tweet queen.
Yeah.
And I haven't really caught on to it.
That's not true.
I do it sometimes. And I don't know.
You do it in bursts.
It's something I think about all the time.
When Megan tweets, she tweets a lot in 35 minutes and does a lot of tweeting, and then
responds. It's just quiet. It's just quiet for 2 weeks or something like that.
I'll tweet
pretty regularly.
I mean, 4 to 5 times a day maybe, and I'll tweet about a lot of different types of things.
Yeah,
Like
peanut butter.
Sure. Or, you know, if I have a funny thought, a thought that I think is funny, I'll tweet it. Or if I see something that's pretty, I'll take a photograph. So,
see,
I need help.
I need help. And we talked about this. I talked about Twitter with John Roderick for a while because that guy is
he's the Twitter master.
He's the tweet
master. And
he's funny. He's totally funny. But I think about it too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just not funny.
Been there.
That's what I do. And if I have a thought, for a second, I think maybe I should tweet that. And the more I think about it, I think,
it's not stupid.
Worth. No one's
going
to want to read
idiot.
That.
Yeah, that's what goes on in my head too. And then I just start the self degradation.
I know.
You know,
I'm so stupid. I can't
fucking tweet anything. I'm an idiot.
When you have the
I'm
urge,
ugly.
You just got to do it. When it's there,
right?
If you think it, tweet it. That's my motto.
That's what I use the Facebook for, though.
Twitter is. I feel like we have followers on Twitter who are not following us on Facebook and vice versa. So you got to do both.
You got it. Yeah.
You got
it. I mean, I got it. It's all linked up. Mm. So it's you know, it works in tandem.
That's more efficient.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm saving time.
I don't know how to link it up.
It's pretty easy.
I'm apparently not the Twitter master. Thought I was.
The master we thought you were.
Darn it.
Yeah, but that's been like this ongoing thing with me where I see other people tweeting constantly and stuff is funny. And I'm like, how are they doing that?
We have some Twitter friends who are that way, and I think everything they post is... I just launched a bobby pin across the table.
I was going to try not to laugh, but it didn't happen.
Sometimes I think everything everybody tweets is more funny than me. I think most people maybe feel that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's now starting to come out, like a bunch of these stars, like Ashton Kutcher.
Sure.
And people of that ilk.
Yeah, Oprah has one.
They have people who do their tweets for them.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fucked.
They think about that's how lame. Busy they are.
Come on.
Still, though.
Think about
how
much effort it takes, like, to send a tweet.
You know, because, you know, they're constantly posting things that are probably funny and poignant in 140 characters. And and it's like, let the little guy have the moment for once. Please. Like, the little guy can't afford to hire some comedian to do their tweets for them.
Chris Rock. If I could pick anybody.
It'd be Chris Rock. Chris Rock would be like your intern that would tweet for Lomolo.
Can you imagine our tweets would be just ridiculous?
Yeah. There'd be a lot of like black people jokes. Yeah.
Not good at all.
The Air Raid podcast is racist.
You are out of control.
That's right. And very tired. Damn it. So let's talk about your music a little bit here. How did you guys form? How did you get started?
I've been playing music for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I played through high school and college myself.
What did you start with? Like guitar or something? Or
I started playing the piano when I was four.
Really?
So I took lessons.
Was that a forced thing?
No. Actually, my family got a piano donated to them from our old church. With the idea that my dad wanted to learn how to play.
Right.
And I guess... I don't really recall this, but I guess when I was a little child, little four-year-old, I would just go up to the piano and kind of take over.
Uh-huh.
Just sit there for hours and...
Yeah, and just mess around.
I would just play it so much that my dad never got a chance to ever even play. So anyways, I just really liked it. I don't know, I was just kind of drawn to it and begged my parents to put me into lessons and let me do it. And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I played piano for a long time and...
Were your parents musical?
No.
Before they got the piano?
No, not really at all, actually. It's kind of interesting. They've always enjoyed listening to music, but...
Right.
They don't... My dad played the ukulele for a couple of years, I guess. But, you know, just on the side.
Side project. Dad's side project.
Yeah. He has lots of side projects. But anyhow, yeah, so I just played music for a long time and started writing songs and... picked up the guitar, and in college I was playing a lot of just open mics and stuff and small solo things. And then at Seattle U, where I went to school, they have a Battle of the Bands competition.
Oh, cool.
And my senior year, I wanted to play with more people than just myself, so I invited Kendra to join me.
Did you guys know, you guys knew each other from Paulsbo?
Yeah. We were friends for a couple of years, like 3 years before we started playing music together.
Okay.
And so we formed this band with our friends, and that's why it was the lame name of the Macon Grandel Band.
Yeah.
And we entered the contest.
Yeah.
And we got second place.
Nice.
There was a metal band that defeated us, which is
we were really sad.
I think I even cried. I shed. Yeah. Like. Two tears.
We felt really cheated. It wasn't fair.
Was it like a metal crowd?
Well, they had so many fans there that their fans just took over.
Yeah. And their name was Blue Tarp. And they did a great job.
Yeah.
Orcas Island, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they were rocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
because they were from Orcas Island?
I don't know.
Totally just rocking.
That's kind of our story, I guess, of how we got together just for that.
Yeah.
And then we had so much fun doing that we decided to kind of stick with it and see what happened if we kept playing together. And
mm-hmm.
Right.
And we haven't ever looked back.
Nice, nice. And how did you start playing music, Kendra?
Well, I basically started playing music with this band. I got a drum set when I was like 14, I think, for Christmas, and like really, really wanted it, really bad.
Yeah.
My family's pretty musical, and my dad plays guitar, and so I grew up kind of around music a lot. But I got this drum set, and I played it for like a week or two, and then never touched it again.
Right, right.
And so I wouldn't say that I really started playing music until we started playing together.
Uh-huh.
And so I feel like I've grown a lot, which has been really fun.
Yeah, and you guys do like a lot of electronic stuff too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we kind of recently started to. I mean, when we started playing, I was on the acoustic guitar, and Kendra was playing with brushes, like really soft. And the more we play together, the more we've been experimenting and realizing it's really fun to play the electric guitar
and
play loud drums,
rock out.
Yeah, totally.
It's a great outlet.
Yeah,
and just experimenting with new equipment and pedals and effects and stuff.
Right.
It's been really fun.
Totally.
Yeah. What do you play through?
I just have a delay pedal that I use, and a reverb pedal.
Okay.
Not much, really.
But you guys have like keyboards and stuff. Like I've looked at your pictures, and you got like MIDI boards and all that stuff, right?
Not really. I mean, it's pretty minimalist. I have the super old Casio keyboard that my grandfather gave me. It's really a gem.
Those things are the greatest.
It's a total gem. It had like you can tilt it up on its side and hear
it's like
some sort
stick
of liquid.
Are you
like
serious?
You can hear the water like,
and it's totally still kicking. It's really unique. It's got a lot of flavor, but I run it through a looping pedal. So
cool.
A looping station. So
nice.
But other than that, we don't have a whole lot of gear yet.
Yeah, we always talk about how we want to add more and stuff.
But,
so hopefully we will. You know, it's like kind of an ongoing thing, I guess.
Yeah.
We keep collecting new,
exciting
things.
Yeah, eBay can be a man.
You gotta stay away.
That is a dangerous shit.
You gotta stay away.
Well,
I
went through a period maybe 6 years where I was just collecting vintage Fender guitars off of eBay.
Nice.
And my wife would come home and she'd be like, "What's that box?" And be like, "Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. I spent $800 to get this new guitar." And, you know, I always had this grand plan where I was going to, like, resell it for more or something like that, you know. And it never worked out. Never.
No.
Never
you
worked
out.
Just
become a gearhead.
So you still have
them? Oh, my God. I have most of them,
So you're a hoarder.
I am a hoarder. Actually, I think I've spent most of my... I know. God, that show is great.
Yeah.
I've spent most of my life trying not to become a hoarder.
Yeah.
So like I'll go on a rampage sometimes. Like my wife, she likes to leave a lot of paper and trash all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I will go through, like, I'll get home and I'll just start picking stuff up and throwing stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
Not even looking at it. I've thrown bills away before.
Trouble.
Like tax documents.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
And that's always not good.
Mm-hmm. That isn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I bet that makes her a little bit angry.
It does. But see, it's better than me, like, coming in and sitting down and just being pissed off that there's stuff all over the place.
Sure.
You know? So, like, yeah. So I'm the anti-hoarder. But it's also a disorder.
You're a disorderly hoarder.
Yes. Yes. I am the antithesis of hoarding. Hey, let's take our second musical break here. We're going to go with the song Whale Song. And is this off the EP, right?
This is off our latest double single, the
double
single record.
Nice. Yeah.
We tried to give it a fancy name. What do you call something that has two songs on it?
I think
double single.
I'm
double
realizing
single.
That it's actually called a single. I think most singles have two songs.
Do they?
Yeah,
that,
they do. Yeah.
Yeah. So if it were a double single, technically it should have four songs. But
double
we
single
still call it a
cool.
double single.
Is that the name of the EP too?
It's called the Singles,
Singles Record.
The Singles Record. Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. This is Whale Song by Lomolo, and we will be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay tuned. That is one thing that I never wanted to do.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. That never. That
it's kind of cool. Like, Megan does it sometimes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I was. I thought you were going to say it like at, live on stage.
More than anything. Like, more than anything, I think, as a joke.
I've
but
like,
it's hard. You gotta get. It's weird.
Well, I'm always afraid that like you get like a string stuck in between like two of your teeth and then just like cut your gum. Ah, that would just be
terrible.
Yeah,
it would not be fun.
It's
that
risky
would,
business.
That would not be, yeah. It is definitely risky business with Tom Cruise.
With Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And the socks.
We are back. That was Whale Song by Lomolo joining me here in Dining Room Studios. So, ladies.
Aaron.
We were just talking about how you should probably start rocking out more on stage.
Were
and
we?
And playing with your teeth and lighting your guitars on fire.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Have you ever thought about doing something like that?
I have this dream.
Would you consider it?
Yes.
Yeah. I have these like really wacky, crazy dreams for some really fun live show things that involve like glitter and sequence and stuff.
Have you ever been to a Kesha concert?
No. Have you?
Yes.
Yeah? Is there a lot of glitter?
There's a lot to learn.
We have some ideas we might play around with for our CD release party show.
Yeah?
Yeah, but they're secret.
Yeah, you can't
know
about
them. Okay, we can't talk about it?
It is cool, and it will be...
Is there going to be a fog machine?
Oh, duh.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We like fog. Hey.
Fog is...
No, we used to... My old band used to play with a fog machine all the time.
Yeah.
It was so ridiculous.
No, I think fog is really cool. I just love
depends
fog.
On where you are, though.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'd be in, like, these tiny little bars and stuff.
Yeah,
and my,
that
and
makes
the,
sense.
The guy that played bass with us was, like, bought this fog machine. He was like, this is going to be the best thing ever. And so he would just, like... And it had, like, this little foot switch for it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you have to push it and it goes like,
the height of the song.
Yeah.
You can push it.
Oh, that's and cool. We'd have to clear it with like the bartenders and the people that work there all the time, you know,
yeah.
And then it was like a total tongue in cheek thing,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you'd be playing for like five people in a bar
with
all this fog. And he would just lay it on, man. He'd like turn it to, cause they had these settings that had these settings, like how thick the fog could be and stuff that. And he would just crank that shit to 11.
Oh man,
it was terrible. Yeah, it used to kind of piss me off too. Because
the smell of it
bad.
Is weird. Yeah,
yeah
I was
yeah.
just gonna say the smell of fog machines after a while is really.
Well,
I
can't
like
be...
it the maple syrup smell. It's like maple syrup.
Maple syrup.
Doesn't it?
I don't
Maybe.
Know.
Maybe
I've always thought that.
I guess
maybe I haven't smelled
it is
fog
a little,
for a little
it's,
while.
It's like a sweet smell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does have a little bit of a sweet smell. Yeah, but I mean that stuff cannot be good. To
no.
breathe in
I don't think
constantly.
That. Yeah.
Probably.
But
it
sure looks cool.
It does look awesome. So wait, let's talk about this Kesha concert that you went to.
Do we have to?
Yeah. Because I don't get it. I don't get the Kesha.
The Kesha.
Yeah. I don't.
It was, yeah. I mean.
Are you a fan? Are you
a
fan?
I mean, well.
Or you just wanted to see.
It kind of came about in a ridiculous way.
Uh-huh.
And it's. I regret it a little bit, but I don't know why. I don't know why I thought this was.
You're
a good
gonna
idea.
Totally lose some street cred right here.
I am. I might as well just tell the story.
Yeah, you should
tell the story.
Okay.
So, Kendra and I are big fans of the show The Hills.
Dude, I was obsessed with that show for a little
while. Were you?
Yeah,
you were.
Me and my wife, we would watch it constantly.
Yeah, that's
great.
We have seen every episode.
Yeah,
me
too.
We would have these Hills parties and we'd get together once a week and watch it. And. My boyfriend.
By the way, I just lost a shit ton of street.
Yeah, you did.
I know. I don't feel so bad anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
My boyfriend was over joining us one night, and Kesha appeared on one of the episodes.
Yeah.
And
she did?
She appeared.
Yeah.
Poof.
Wait a minute. On what episode?
It was the city. It was.
That's the one with the tall girl.
Whitney Port.
Whitney.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. Hill's spinoff.
Okay.
City.
Okay.
Kesha appeared on one of the episodes, and. She was looking really good, and so my boyfriend's name is John, and he says, oh, man, she's really pretty. I like her.
Yeah.
And I took that as thinking, he's a fan.
He's
know?
A fan of Kesha.
And we had just started dating. I didn't really know what he meant by that. So I thought, what a great gift idea for Christmas. I looked at her show calendar and saw that she's coming to town. So I go on Craigslist and I search for
because the tickets were sold out.
Tickets sold out within like a day.
Oh my god!
So I found this guy and I spent way too much money on these tickets.
Yeah, how much did you spend?
I think I spent like $100 on Kesha tickets.
Like on like nosebleed seats too.
It was floor.
Or it was general
at the crocodile, right?
Admission. Yeah.
Is that the Showbox photo? Yeah. So I get these tickets.
Yeah.
Really excited, thinking, oh wow, what a great present. He's going to be so excited.
He's going to be so excited. And he's going to brush his teeth with Jack Daniels.
I've never seen a more disappointed look than when he opened this. But he was nice and he went.
Right,
and I went with him.
Yeah.
Not to mention you like burned him the CD so he could listen to it and learn all the songs.
Are you serious?
And like.
I did.
You made him listen to it a lot. And
yeah.
Like,
every car ride.
But through that, I think you ended up kind of liking Kesha.
Some of her songs
are cool.
Are great dance songs.
Hey, they are.
It's
they're catchy.
True. She put
that's
on a great live
that's
show.
That's what it's there for.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Her props, lots of dance moves and glitter and
wait, what kind of props did she
things.
Have?
Her the first song of her set, she filled the stage with fog. Speaking of fog.
Nice.
She had these glasses on that were lit up, like glowing.
Whoa.
And so she was dancing in the fog, all like sexy. And all you could see were her glasses, her eyes.
Yeah.
It was just
so
really
cool.
Funny.
Is she, because I think when she first came out, she was on like SNL. And I saw that and she looked so stiff. And like,
yeah,
I didn't see that.
I actually watched that episode.
Yeah, she looked really stiff. Like she couldn't really move. She didn't know how to dance too much. So, so she's learning.
She was. Great.
She's learned. She's done learning.
Yeah, yeah. She's learned it. She's done learned it, man.
I'm a little embarrassed that you guys know this now. Just saying.
Well, now 6,000 people know it as well. So, yeah. I just don't get her, I guess. I don't know.
That's okay.
I think I'm past the point of you know, enjoying that music.
I just think that like dance parties
to it either, but it's just something fun.
Yeah, dance parties. Or like riding in the car to a dance party. Yeah.
I'm not judging. I'm not judging, by the way. There's no judgment here.
Uh-huh.
There's no
sure isn't. Sure. Don't get us wrong, you know. I mean, Kesha's not a daily listen.
It's not a daily occurrence.
No.
Yeah,
this is maybe like
it's only for
once every 6 months or something.
Right.
Maybe not for Kendra. Maybe once a week.
So what's your favorite bands?
Oh my gosh.
What do you guys draw inspiration from?
This is like, I feel like there's a lot of things right now that are really just making us really excited.
Yeah.
On the drive here, we were jamming out to Fantagram.
Dude,
they are Fantagram fans.
Excellent.
Their new EP is just so good. It's just there's a lot of really cool, like subtle nuances that when you listen to it, turned it up really loud, you can hear like cool drum, like electronic drum patterns, and her harmonies are really cool and melodies and stuff.
They are fantastic.
They are really.
I went
fantastic.
Through when what's the Diamond song. Mouthful of Diamonds. Mm-hmm. I went through a period of like 2 months where I was listening to that song at least twice a day.
It's so good.
Great.
Yeah.
That album is really good. There's a lot of really good tracks on that album.
Yeah. And they're on like Sub Pop. No, Barsook.
Yes, they're on Barsook, which is local.
Yeah, totally. So, okay. So Fantagram, you guys are inspired by them?
Really? Totally.
Inspired. Yeah.
They're a lot more badass than we are, I feel like.
But we're getting there.
You guys really got some good stuff, man.
Yeah. But another one is like, the new St. Vincent record is really cool.
Yeah,
there's a lot of cool stuff going on that record, too. Same thing, like nuances. And it's really different than her other records. It's much, I don't know how to describe it. It's much more maybe electronic, and it's got a lot of really cool sounds.
Like, right.
There's a lot going on in the songs, which is super cool. And same thing with the new Feist record. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that yet.
Super good.
You should listen to that one.
Yeah.
Really produced.
She's
like,
got a great
big,
voice.
Big, big sound on
She's
that
She's got
record.
A great voice.
She sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So do you guys, have you been on tour?
We just got off tour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Our first
Where'd you guys
tour?
Go?
It was a West Coast tour. So we played seven shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seven shows. We started in California and... So LA, San Diego, San Francisco, through Oregon, and up to Vancouver, Canada, and
nice.
Back.
Nice.
Yeah, it was quite the whirlwind.
It was a lot of fun.
How long did it take you?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how was being on tour with each other? Did you guys ever get sick of each other?
Maybe once. But other than that, pretty good.
What happened?
But there was traffic involved and a lack of coffee.
There was one day.
Lack of sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't just us.
It wasn't
the whole environment.
It was like 2 days in,
where
too.
Were you guys
we hadn't
at?
Even played a show yet, and we were in Oakland, and I really needed coffee, and Megan was trying to give me directions.
It's pretty
help.
Easy to get lost down there.
It was, and the stupid GPS wasn't doing its job, and I sort of just lost it.
But yeah,
it would show. It would just stop and show the car on the map spinning in circles, spinning
in circles, like off the road. Like it would show it, like in the middle of a lake or like a park, just spinning in circles.
Oh my God!
And I was so tired, and I had been driving for like 7 hours, and
I
needed was a frickin' coffee, and so I kind of lost my.
We saw the claws. That
my,
day,
yeah.
But for the most part, though, I feel like we do a pretty good job because we're always together. You know,
right? Right.
That tour, we drive Kendra's car with all of our instruments in her car, so we don't have room to take anybody in our car with us. So it's just us doing all the driving
in a really cramped space.
Really cramped space.
We had to buy this so full. We had to buy this kind of like vinyl tule-y bag to put top of it. For all of our like personal belongings, and it worked out really great actually.
Nice.
But there was one night where we played our show in San Francisco, and we had to park our car in a parking garage overnight, and then walk to where we were staying for some reason.
7 blocks.
And it was really late, and we were really tired.
It's 4 a.m.
And so we thought it would be a good idea to carry this giant, like, how many pound bag?
It was heavy.
It was like 150 pounds or something, full of all of our stuff. Seven blocks through, like, a really sketchy part of downtown San Francisco. And we were, I think it took us, like, 45 minutes to walk 7 blocks because we had to keep stopping. And
But
other than that, that bag thing was really a great solution to our not having a tour van or ever having done anything like that. And
we're pretty ghetto still. Lots of our...
You gotta be careful with that stuff, man. Like, you know, I'm always hearing stories about people getting their stuff jacked
on
tour.
We have this blanket. It's this dark brown.
You shouldn't tell people this.
Oh.
That you just, no, I think everybody does that. It's like
you put
a cover over something, and you're like, okay, now people won't steal that because they're like, I wonder what's under that blanket. Probably nothing.
Nothing important.
And the blanket, like. It literally covers the entire car.
It's
like,
huge.
The entire car is covered. Like, you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous. But our theory is that it makes it less eye-catching. Like, if
right.
you don't just... It's dark.
Yes.
And you're walking past. You don't see
right
my
it.
Shiny gold glitter drums
right,
in the
right.
window.
Yeah.
We were joking, though, that we should get some Beanie Babies and, like, old garbage bags and
to make
totally.
It look like we're hoarders.
Make it... Yeah, back to... we're circling back here.
See,
I like
everything
it.
Ties in.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Totally. I always tell my wife, because we have the Subaru, and like they have like the you can actually pull out this like roll out like thing in the back of the car.
Cool.
That covers up the, you know, what's in the back.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm always like thinking to myself, if I was a robber, if I was a thief, then I would look for cars that
had that
flap thing pulled out, because obviously there's something good in there.
Yeah,
that they don't want you
to
see.
The blanket
you
thing.
Would rob.
I would rob the cars that have the
burgle
blankets.
Our car.
He would
steal all
of our gear. All
of your shit.
Great.
And I'm so upset that...
Where'd you park your
we
car?
We just told everybody this, because now we have to find a new strategy.
No, it'll still work. It'll still work for you. Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, a van and a trailer is our next thing.
Even if we get like a little trailer, we can just tow it behind my car. That's my next... That's, I think, the next thing.
I think the trailer, though, is even more like... Cause
is
that's
that worse?
Yeah.
No, but how do you break into a trailer? Come on.
It's possible.
Well, no, they just steal the whole trailer. Haven't you heard about that?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
no.
Sonic Youth, it happened to Sonic Youth.
Oh, you
it's
know what?
To,
I did hear
it's
about
happened
that.
To, it's happened to this this band that I played with at that bar in Bellingham that we cannot remember the name of.
That's
mm-hmm. And, Yeah, they just somebody like in the middle of the night just like unhooked the.
There's
unhook
gotta
the
be a way to like
off.
Lock the wheels, or we'll just get a couple U-locks, or we'll figure it out.
Get a couple boots.
Yeah,
like tire
seriously.
Boots from the police.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And do they let people?
Yeah,
because
like, hey, can I rent that? No, with the economic problems, they will let you rent anything.
I'm
probably.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. You can rent those from the.
Can
police.
We rent the police cars?
Maybe. Maybe.
We have a lot.
I'd like to borrow your shotguns. Yeah. Well, so how was the rest of the tour?
Oh, it was good.
It was pretty good.
Good
showing at some people. You got some people coming out to the shows and everything.
We were just really lucky to be invited on the tour.
Oh, who
we
did
were,
you who did
we
you
were invited
tour
invited to open for the Head and the Heart and
Tao
with the Get Down Stay Down. So,
I did read about that. I'm sorry.
For a first, oh, it's okay.
I'm
we
tired.
Forgive you.
And apparently, I'm a hoarder as well. So.
And a thief, too.
A thief?
And a thief.
Jeez,
yeah, I got a lot of things going
Jeez,
on.
Louise.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for a first tour for a band who's like kind of small starting out like us, it was incredible to be able to start out playing those shows. I mean, they were at these amazing venues and huge crowds. And granted, most of them weren't there for us, you know, but we did make a lot of new fans out of it. So it's great.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
Those guys are just super nice. They've been big helps for us, and we really appreciate them.
Yeah, how'd you get hooked up with the Head and the Heart? How did that
back when?
A long time ago.
When they were first starting out as well, and we kind of were, we played this little tiny show with them in Renton at this cool venue. It's kind of like a house venue type of thing. Like it's got that vibe to it. Called The Upper Room.
And was this just like a year ago?
A year and a half.
Yeah.
It was May, not this last year, but the year before.
Yeah.
Right.
I think. So almost
that was just when they kind of started to explode.
So we met them there and then played a couple other shows with them. They've invited us to play with them at Numo's and at the Showbox.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, they kind of took us under their wing,
and
which has been...
Yeah.
They've been really great.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, and they've been... Man. They've been doing it.
And they're great.
An amazing job.
They're all so nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. And it seems like the more that I do this and the more musicians that I meet in this town, it seems like there's a bit of a sea change in like how this town kind of, you know, produces musicians.
Yeah.
Like, because back in the day, everything was kind of closed off. You know, even just like... Maybe, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Totally.
It was kind of a closed system. Now it seems like everybody's kind of helping each other out.
Everybody's rooting
for
everybody.
Cool.
That's definitely been our experience.
It's
cool. When we started, like, what, 2 or 3 years ago?
2 years ago,
we were brand new to the music community. And
we
were just starting to play out for people. And it was just incredible. I mean, so many people have done
amazing
things for us. Without asking for anything in return.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
That's really cool.
And not just musicians, but bloggers and bookers and
photographers,
people who have just been really kind to us and
helped
us out and been so, this city is so supportive. It's really ridiculous. It's really cool. It's a cool environment to play music in for sure and to grow up, out of, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think I've said this a lot of times before too. I think, you know, Seattle is definitely going through yet another... I always use the word revolution, but that's not the right term for it. But another like musical explosion.
Yeah,
you know,
that's cool to hear.
Yeah, because I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of great music coming out of this town again, and I think people are being a little bit smarter about it now.
Sure.
You know, because back in when grunge hit, like every band that had Seattle. You know, behind them was just signed like that. You know, I mean, every band was getting picked up because they were from here. And now that's not happening so much, but I think, you know, with all the social media available out there, it's a lot easier for bands to actually do this stuff themselves. Have you guys found that it's a bit easier? I mean, you know, discounting the fact that you're having help from like bands like the Head and the Heart and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's just, I mean, we don't really have anything to compare it to, you know,
because
this is our first real band and our first shot that we've taken at this. But it is pretty amazing to realize that just putting a lot of really hard work into it, just
right.
the two of us.
I mean,
you know, it's been like a full-time job.
It is like a full-time
more
job.
More than a full-time job on top of our jobs. And
right.
But it's also worth it to realize that putting all of this effort into this, it actually is paying off. And like we're seeing things happening. And
yeah.
Isn't that an amazing feeling?
We get to
that's
like
an amazing
sit
feeling.
Here and do cool things like this and play shows and meet people. And it is cool to think that you can do a lot of it on your own. Like I remember when we first started, Megan, like when we first started wanting to play more shows, Megan just would write emails like just out of the blue to venues and bookers and and then you get
booked.
Because
we didn't know anyone.
And then you get but it totally works that way. Like you can totally do it that way. You can come out of the blue and
there's a lot of frustrating moments in that too,
and
as
you
well.
Definitely.
Have to play.
It doesn't happen overnight.
No.
Wednesday
and Tuesday nights.
Oh God, those
and you
were
have
the worst.
To kind of fight through it. And but it's with the if you just work really hard at it, it's totally doable.
Right.
Which is so cool. It's cool that
the Tuesday night at 1 o'clock slot. Sucks.
We've done it.
Oh yeah,
we've
lots,
done it.
Lots
yeah,
and lots.
Yeah,
or like
totally.
The Tuesday night, and every band on the bill sounds completely different. Like,
That always bugged the crap out of me.
Yeah, but it happens.
Like somebody would put, somebody would put a bill together with like a heavy metal band and a folk band,
and then like a funk band.
Yeah.
What can you do?
You're just like, come on.
But just the opportunities. I mean, it's just
really
cool. I mean, we played a show for no one once. On a porch.
We
remember
did.
That?
Every time we play a show now
there's
that's
nobody
like,
there.
On somebody's porch or it's like a...
It was an art studio.
Oh, okay.
We were invited to play at this art studio and there was not a soul at all. But
just the person who set it up.
We killed it. We played our set. We did our thing.
That was a great show.
We really shook our hair around a lot, like whipped our hair, tried to really be... And the worst part is that we weren't really playing. Like there were people there. It was like for this art gallery thing.
They were really far away.
But no one was like stopping to listen to us. And we were just trying to rock it as hard as we could. But every time we play, we have a show now that like maybe we're nervous about or anything. We're always just like, well, at least it's not going to be another porcher. We call it a porcher. Or if we do have a bad show, we're like, well, that was a porcher, but let's get over it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, you gotta run through the crap.
You do.
Lots of paying your dues. And I don't know if that ever really ends.
No.
Right.
I don't by any means feel like we're
not paying our dues.
Right.
Sure.
But as long as things feel like they're moving in a positive direction and we're able to share our music and people are responding and we feel good about it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, why not keep
working? Well, that's great. And I hope, I hope for all the best for you guys. I really like the music that I've heard so far and, I need to come and check out a live show.
Yeah.
So, next live show.
We'll keep you updated.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll
give
do
me
it.
Some, shoot me some free tickets. Put me on the list.
All right.
Yeah. We can do that. Yeah.
So let's we've got one question from listener Scott in Atlanta.
What? Atlanta?
Yeah.
Cool.
He wants to know if you guys have ever done any street busking.
Oh, yes.
You have.
Well, on the ferry.
I wouldn't call it street, but we've done busking. I live across the Puget Sound from Seattle.
Oh, so you still do?
I still do.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah.
So our musical career involves a lot of ferry rides.
Right.
There's a ferry that goes from our hometown to Seattle back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So we take the ferry like 15
all the time.
Times a week.
We're talking the Kingston Edmonds run or
the Seattle Bainbridge
Island. Seattle Bainbridge,
run.
Okay.
That's the one.
Okay.
And we used to play songs on the ferry to to get our ferry. Fair cover.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So we'd make like $10,
but
it worked.
Yeah, it would be like pretty close to covering the car fee.
We used to
That's
do that
rad.
All the time back in the day.
You know, I always saw people doing that, especially on the Bainbridge Seattle run, and I always kind of wanted to do it myself, but it just made me kind of nervous.
It's really nerve wracking.
Yeah,
especially because it's the same thing as playing a porcher. Like,
right.
Sometimes you have people who just don't care about music
or don't
want you to be doing it or like are angry that you're doing
it.
But
they're annoyed.
But then you have like the magical like four people who just sit there and stare at you like you're doing the coolest thing ever. And little kids too is always.
Well, it is great when you see like especially like because a lot of classical music is played on the ferry boat.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
You'll
I
have like a quintet or something like that, or a harp or a harp player. Harpist.
I believe it's harpist, isn't it?
I have no idea. Don't
We'll go with that.
Okay.
We're going to run with that. But yeah, I mean, you know, and they always have this little crowd that's kind of surrounding them and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it probably calms people down a little bit, you know, because that commute for people
and get makes so them aggravating,
so mean.
Like, yeah, it's really tiring.
Yeah, yeah.
It does suck. Like, especially I live in Seattle right now, but Megan, like, after we play a show and we pack up, and then Megan has to go home. Like, that's the worst, especially if you miss a ferry.
Oh God!
And you have to it's like especially 1 in the morning.
Especially on a weekday,
you get stuck there.
Yeah,
it's
you get
4
stuck.
Hours.
Oh, super late, yeah. And the last thing you want to do is have to ride the ferry, and then the worst. The ferry ride actually isn't so bad. It's the drive home after the ferry ride that always gets me.
Do you live on Bainbridge, or you live?
I live in Paulsboro. Oh, okay. So it's another like 30-minute drive.
I know. I hate that drive.
It's the worst.
I hate that drive.
It's really beautiful right now, though, with all the leaves changing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but then, like, if you're doing like the commute,
just trying to stay
positive. Yeah, he's like, no,
tell
you, you're wrong.
This sucks because when you get off that ferry and there's a lot of traffic, like it's a loaded boat.
Oh, it can take like an hour and a half.
Yeah, you're screwed. You're screwed.
You know, the snowstorm last year. Oh, do you remember the snowstorm right before Thanksgiving?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. My sister got stuck on that road for 7 hours.
Ugh. My mom, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She thought she was going to die. Yeah. She didn't have any water. Ugh. She was really thirsty.
That's horrible.
She didn't die.
I had a coworker that got stuck on a bus for 13 hours.
What?
Yeah. From going
that
from...
That sounds terrible.
It sounds awful, right?
It's one thing to be stuck like in your car by yourself, yeah, but with a bunch of other people you don't know.
Right. Right.
Not totally. Good.
Yeah, and on a bus.
Wow.
That's, you know, ugh, most of the time is smelly anyway.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's pimp your wares here.
Pimp your whip.
Yeah, pimp your wares. Where can we find your music?
Oh,
when
pimp
can
your
we
wares.
expect the,
you know.
Some shows, some new tunes?
So, we have a website.
Yes, you do.
And it is just lamolomusic.com.
Excellent.
And on the website, you can see our show calendar, and our next show is to be announced, so we'll have it up there soon.
Okay.
There's a shop tab, too, and you can check out what we have to sell. We have t-shirts, and we sell our singles record.
Yeah.
Double
single.
Which only has two singles
on,
that's
by
the way.
A double single with two songs on it that are awesome.
Yeah.
And
you can email you guys there and talk about hoarders and
yeah, you could
and
do anything
good stuff.
Mm-hmm. You could send us fan letters. We like those. Or
yeah,
you
we've
can,
never even gotten one of those,
but we like them. We like the idea.
Send
of them.
Okay. Here's we're making a call out on the Air Raid podcast. Send Lamolo fan letters. Let's see if this works.
Okay.
That would be
and
great.
I guess if they
we'll see.
They don't know our address, but if they emailed us maybe and they
yeah, a physical letter is cool. Would be even or a postcard or like a sticker pack.
See, that gets if you do you guys have
tattoos,
like a PO box or something?
Temp tats are our favorite.
We don't know but you know, if they wanted to email us and inquire about an address, we might be able to provide that.
Only if they seem trustworthy. There's a long series
yeah,
of questions
you, yeah.
that we'll send you.
You're going to have to send like a quiz or something like that for them that they need to pass before. I would venture to guess that that's not a great idea.
And here's our address. Just say it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. This
thank
was
you
a
so
real
much.
Treat.
This has been
this fun. Fun.
Yeah, yeah. And
funny.
hopefully, oh, thank you.
No,
yeah. Thank you very much. And hopefully we can get you guys back on once the record comes out.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks.
How much longer do you
so
expect?
We're well on our way. We're shooting for getting all of the recording done in January.
Uh-huh.
So then
uh-huh.
it'll be a couple months after that.
Right,
so maybe
right.
March or April we'll
okay.
have it released. And
yeah.
Wonderful.
We're really excited.
Wonderful. Well, let us know when that comes out and we'll play it. We'll play it on the air.
Cool.
On
right.
the fake air.
On the yeah. whatever.
The unreal
air
airwaves.
Air.
Right.
Air is
it
air.
Is. It
and
is
on that
really.
Note, air is air.
That's right. Cool. If there's one thing you take away from this podcast, it's the fact that air is air.
And also, if you think it, tweet it.
If you think it, tweet it. Yeah.
Amen.
Just go with it. Just go with it. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And you can find us at www.air-raid.net. Also at the Noisebeam. That's Noisebeam with a Z.com. Through the good people at Fisher Broadcasting. And please go to iTunes and rate and review the show because that really does help us out in continuing to get fantastic guests like Lamolo on the show. So thank you guys for listening, and we will be back next week.